I feel like I haven't been here in forever. It's only been a couple of weeks, but I feel like I haven't been here in forever. I mean, this today, if I missed today, it would have been 3 total weeks. I've been places and done things since the last time that I saw you. I had a chance to be at Spring Retreat, which was great. Thank you, one woohoo. Well, I think only like two. Thank you. There's the other woohoo. There were 2 whole people. Oh, come on, clap. You can clap for Spring Retreat. I was at Spring Retreat with just a ton of folks. There was almost 90 of us there with adults. And that's so interesting because up until 3 weeks before the actual retreat, the only person who'd registered was Isabel Eckenrode. We had nobody. And then in less than 21 days, 98 other folks, or however many it was, came and said, 86, whatever it was, came and said, hey, we want to go. So it was really an amazing time. When you are with young people and God's presence is there, that is a very powerful thing. That's a very powerful thing. And some young people gave their lives to the Lord for the first time for real. And that is a beautiful thing. That's why we do what we do. This is important, this care and concern that we have for one another. But it's about people coming to understand who Jesus is and believing on his name so that they too can be saved. The gospel is still powerful enough to save lives. It has not lost an ounce of juice over the thousands of years. And we are so grateful for that. Lots of ministry happening, people set free from things, people seeing themselves in a new way and seeing God in a new way, making connections of faith. It was a beautiful time, and I was grateful to be involved in it. I want to talk to you about what I talked about, because I was the speaker for that. And this year's theme was overflow. And I'm going to share with you what I shared for them, and it's probably a little too elementary for you guys, all of you giants in the faith, all of you icons of faith, hope, and love. You're just going to have to like come down here with the rest of us today. I'll share with you what I shared with the teenagers, and maybe it'll be meaningful for you. We talked about overflow. Specifically, we talked about Romans chapter 15, verse 13. You can go there if you want to. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Overflow. What I want to talk to you about this morning is what that means for us. Because Paul says something about what it means to overflow. But the first thing I need to talk to you about is food. And I know that's going to shock you because nobody in here knows what a huge fan of food that I am. Have you ever, and this is rhetorical, but I feel like I'm going to see this in your faces. Have you ever just been really just hungry? I mean, I've never been starving. I want to be clear on that because starving is a real thing. But there are times when I felt if I didn't have something, I was going to perish and go be with the Lord. That was not true, but there were times when you've just been like, I mean hungry. Like your body's telling you there are noises coming from this vicinity that people around you are experiencing. Like that kind of hunger. Like you may go, and somebody's like, what? Was that you? No, that was my stomach mashing against itself. It's beginning to consume itself because I'm so hungry. I mean, just really hungry for something. Have you ever been hungry for something in particular? Like there's a thing that you just have, in the South we would call it a hankering. I have a hankering for something. There's one particular thing that I just that's the thing that I want. You know what I'm saying? This is horrible, but for me, it's Hostess apple pies. Don't you judge me. I know those things are awful. I know what's in them. I read the back every time, and then I eat it anyway. It's like enough calories for an entire day. You want to talk about some saturated fat? Not the good kind of fat. I mean the fat fat. The fat fat that doesn't go anywhere, but somewhere. You know what I'm saying. It just sticks to you. Those things are amazing. There's enough sugar in there to power 17 children for 5 days. You know what I mean? But sometimes, when I want something sweet, that's the thing, and they're only a dollar at Walmart. It's a demonic trap, I'm telling you. If you want something, and you know it's like, I really want a steak. I'm not going to pay $20 for a steak, but I'll pay a dollar. I'll drive 7 miles to Walmart to pay a dollar for that thing. Then I'll eat it, and then I will feel the condemnation of the devil and the conviction of the Holy Spirit saying, you did not need that. But you know what I'm saying? When there's like a food item that you just really... Maybe it's a something that your mama cooks or something that's more cultural. There's like a dish that you just think, I need that thing. It's interesting, isn't it, how your body and your mind just go, that's the thing. And you can try other stuff. If you really want a hamburger and you go and have pizza, it's fine, but it's just not quite there. Do you know what I mean? Have you ever gotten used to something at a restaurant? You go to a place to have a thing. Right? There's one thing, and you go there and you have that thing, and it's consistent and it's reliable, and then you go and they changed it. And you want to go to kick the dust off of your feet at the front door and be like, I am done with you in Jesus' name. I will never patronize this place again. Because you had in mind, that was the one thing that you needed. You know what I'm saying? Are you with me? That one thing that you just have that, and nothing else will do. Nothing you can try other stuff, and that's not gonna work. I want a hamburger, not a piece of pizza. Have you ever been really, really thirsty? Like just I'm parched. Like I may be approaching the dehydration level, which is a terrible thing, by the way, and nothing to joke about. But you need something to drink. Like if you don't get something to drink, it's dusty. Like the last time you coughed, literally there was a cloud of like just dust. I've got to get something to drink. And we all tell ourselves that what we need is a soda because soda's so refreshing, isn't it? I mean, you just a 2-liter, you can just down it and you feel so good. You're still thirsty because soda does not help you with your thirst. Or maybe you're a tea drinker. In the South, we like tea. We like a lot of tea. We like a lot of sweet tea. My mother's tea recipe starts with 2 cups of sugar in 1 gallon. Thank you very much. We call it spearmint tea, and most people, we don't even give it to them because that's the kind of tea that, like, you taste it and your teeth literally just begin to eject. They just start to fall out of your face. Your teeth are like, we can't deal with this. Like, the enamel just begins to slide off. I can't hold it. Like, it's that kind of sweet. You know what I mean? Bojangles kind of sweet tea. You probably don't know nothing about Bojangles, but Bojangles sweet tea, all you need is a sip of that, and you are ready for the week. You're just like, I'm ready. I'm ready for this. See, yeah, you've just been so thirsty, and this is going to shock you. For some of you, you're going to be real upset with me. Do you know that you're mostly water? Did you know that? That in your body, you're mostly water. You're not fizzy soda, right? You're not tea. Like, that's not what's coursing through your veins, right? Well, some of you, that's how you got here this morning. Some of you amped up with some coffee. Y'all drank about a quart and just were like, help me stay awake in church, God. You know what I mean? It's not coffee that's in your veins. It's actually water. So let me just go ahead and break your heart and tell you that if you're thirsty, you need water. And I know what some of y'all do. You put stuff in the water so it doesn't taste like water because water has no taste. I'm with you. I worship at the altar of Crystal Light. I'm the same with you. Know what I'm saying? I love their pomegranate cherry. One little packet turns this boring bottle of water into something delicious. Now, of course, that's got all kinds of fake sugars in it, which, again, is not good for you, but I feel like I'm drinking water. Or some of you who like lemon in your water. Why do you like sour water? What is wrong with y'all? I'm not talking about y'all that order water and then you make lemonade at your table. I'm not talking about y'all folks, but I know who you are. I was in the restaurant business for years, and I knew when somebody came up and said, hey, can I have water and a bowl of lemons, please? I know what that means. They would get out their own paring knife. I mean, it was a whole thing. One lady actually brought in her little juicer deal. I'm not kidding with you. She pulled it out of her purse. It was like right into her water. And then 75 packets of sugar later, she's got her own. That's not what there's one thing that, if you're thirsty, there's that one thing that you want that you've got to have. You know what's so interesting? It's the same way with our souls. That's very interesting. Have you ever felt driven to do something that may or may not have made a lot of sense? Have you ever really felt like there was a step you needed to take and there was part of you that was like, don't take that step, that's not a good idea. But the other part of you was like, no, take that step, jump off of that bridge, we need to go that way. Have you ever felt that way? There's something that you need in your life. You see somebody out there doing a thing and you're like, I need that. If I had that in my life, then I would be fulfilled. I need something that I'm missing. I mean, I've got a decent job. I've got some relationships, but there's something that or sometimes even in your relationships, you'll go outside of your relationships because you feel like you're not getting from those relationships what you need. Need I go any further with that? Married or not? Sometimes you go looking for something because there just seems to be this hole. You're hungry for something, you're thirsty for, there's something you're looking for that you can't quite find, but you put stuff in the same way that we put stuff in. Let me show you. Let's say for one second that your soul is a big glass vase. Just go with me here. And this is what we do. This is what we do. We put bits and bytes of different things trying to fill that hole, that we have a need for something. We have a need for more love. We have a need for more attention. We have a need for more stuff. We have a need for more power. We have needs, and so we just, begin to put that stuff in there, and we cram and we cram and we cram and we keep cramming. And by the way, your soul is looking for something, and if you don't give it that thing, it just stays hungry. So you just keep putting stuff in and just keep putting stuff in. And I mean, it as full as it gets, we just keep putting stuff in. Here's the challenge, though. Way down here at the bottom, what can begin to happen if you're not careful is that the stuff that you're cramming in begins to rot. You ever eaten bad food? You ever gone to the fridge and you wanted that leftover, but you forgot that that leftover that you thought you made yesterday was 2.5 weeks ago? And you're like, oh, I've got that lasagna in there. And then you pick it up and you realize it's become a science experiment. It's now clawing at the sides of the container, trying to get out at you. Something can happen if you're not careful as you begin to just fill your soul. You cram it and you cram it and you cram it. And the problem is you're not getting whatever it is that you need. And the stuff way deep down here, that's the stuff where things have gone wrong. The relationship that you thought for sure was what you needed went off the rails and it rotted. You moved your life and everything for a job that paid more money. Now you've got no relationships, you've got no backup, and you are feeling more lost than you were back there when you needed more of the money. You've stuffed stuff in there, and when it didn't work, it didn't go away. It just started to rot. So now you're full of this whole thing, and some of it's pretty. And can I tell you, by the way, if you think people can't see what's going on within you, you're just as transparent as this. Many of y'all think you play a pretty good game, and you think that the people around you don't know what's really happening within you. I'm telling you, because it flows out of you, it spills over, they know that something is not right. They can see it. You're not as opaque as you think you are. You haven't hit it as well as you think. And here's the problem. Even if you feel like you've got it on lock, you keep stuffing stuff in here, and eventually it's going to overflow. The Apostle Paul said something very, very interesting. This is what he says in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you. There's an assumption there. There's an assumption that you're not full, or if you are, it's not with all joy and peace. As you trust in him, there's a requirement here. There's an issue for you in relationship with God. There's a filling that can be yours, but you're going to have to trust. That's why we keep doing this, folks. The reason we keep shoving this stuff in there, the reason we keep adding on to it, is because we're not sure if God is going to give us what we think we need. I need the relationship, not joy and peace. Wrong. I need more time and more attention, not joy and peace. Wrong. I need more acknowledgement. I need somebody at work to tell me good job and pay me more money. Maybe so, but also wrong. Something happens here, and there is one thing that you need that's not all of this stuff. There's a story in John chapter 4. And you can go there if you want. It's a pretty well-known story. Jesus is walking around doing his preaching and teaching thing, his walking and talking thing, and he goes to Samaria and stops at a well. It's a very interesting story. Because there's a woman there in the middle of the day, and I won't bore you with all the academic details of it, but she shouldn't have been there in the middle of the day. So the fact that she's there in the middle of the day already signals to Jesus that something's not right with her. And he's sitting there, and she's brought stuff to get water out of the well. This is John chapter 4. She's brought stuff to get water out of the well. And Jesus says, "Will you give me a drink?" Because she notices, even though he's sitting beside the well, he hasn't brought anything to get water. And they have this whole conversation about, you got to be crazy because you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan, and we both know that that's a no-no. That's not supposed to happen. You're also a man and I'm a woman, and no one is around because the disciples had gone into the city to do some stuff. So there's all, Jesus is breaking all kinds of rules. And she says, you got nothing to get the water out. He said, will you give me a drink? And then they have this interesting conversation about exactly what the water she wants means for her. Because he says, you can drink all that water all day long, but it will not fill you in the way you need it to. But I've got water. If you drink that, you'll never be thirsty again. As a matter of fact, my water turns into living springs of life,
for those who will take it. What if, I don't know that this is so elementary, but just bear with me. What if what you need is what he's offering? It's about to get real messy, so don't worry. I just want to show you what I'm talking about. All of this stuff, which was so important, just really starts to get out of the way of this water of true life that Jesus promises. Now, here's where we get foolish, because we see this stuff down here. See this stuff? It's coming up. No.
There's got to be a way to keep that. I don't want that to come out. I don't want that to come up. I don't want anybody to see this. I mean, everybody's got this stuff. But I don't want anybody to see this. I mean, this is the stuff that I don't talk about. This is the damage that I took when I was a child. This is what happened when an adult in my life took advantage of me. This is what happened when my spouse cheated. This is what happened at the divorce. This is what happened when somebody really important to me died. This is what happened when I went to church and somebody said something really nasty to me, and I haven't been back since. I'm carrying all of this stuff because I tried to get what I needed from it. Now it's coming up, and I don't know what to do. I wonder what would happen if we poured more water in. It just... A beautiful thing about Jesus is that he's a never-ending supply. He says it's a well of living water. A well of living water. And if you just keep pouring, and you just keep drinking, then suddenly, all of this stuff, even the bad stuff, is just on the surface. Even the really difficult things that you thought you could never be free of. And for the first time ever, you're full. You're full from the bottom to the top, from the front to the back, from side to side. And no matter what happens, nothing's going down in there. It just floats on the top. Because you don't need anything else. You don't have to worry about this ever causing you trouble again, because it can't penetrate. So I'll ask you like I asked them, what you waiting for? What are you waiting for? If this is possible, what if you really could be filled? What if God could fill you? What if the God of hope, from whom hope comes, the creator of hope, he who is hope, what if he could fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit? What if he's enough? And what if people looked at you and they didn't see your junk anymore? What if when they looked at you, they saw through you to him? What are you waiting for? Jesus said, if you drink the water that I give you, you'll never thirst again. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust him. What are you waiting for? Don't panic. I will clean this up. I know there's moms in here going, there's water on that table. Yeah, we're going to be okay. So it's overly simple. I know that. This doesn't mean anything to you. This is for kids, right? Because nobody in here
Nobody in here. This doesn't make any sense, dude. You can clap. That's fine. If it's for you, you can clap for you. This is what we do, like, at camp and at spring retreat. This is not for anybody over the age of 17, but what if it is? What if you've got stuff in you that is taking the place of the hope that God wants you to overflow with? What if what people see coming out of you, your wives, your husbands, your friends, your coworkers, what if all of that stuff is just stuff that's floating? That's just stuff that's just on the top of this. And can I encourage you this? Don't be that person who only fills up halfway. I did that for years of my life. That is a nightmare. When you won't let enough of God come in you to change you from the inside out, when you were determined to shove that stuff in, and I understand why that happens for you, because some of you guys are defined by the black stuff. You're defined by your pain. You're defined by your bitterness. We were at Bible study on Tuesday, and somebody said one of the most amazing things. The man said, being bitter and having unforgiveness in your heart is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. That's bigger than you think it is. I want you to think about that. Bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart is like drinking poison and waiting for the person who hurt you to die. What are you defined by? What's in there this morning? And how can God pour into you enough that it all comes up and out? Yes, probably what's going to happen is you're going to fall for some of those old tricks and you're going to try to shove stuff back in there. But if it's full, you saw what happened, it won't go down. It won't. What are you waiting for? Are you willing to let go of it? I feel this in my heart, that some of us have become entitled. We've become entitled to our frustration. We've become entitled to our hurt. We've become entitled. We deserve to have this. We deserve to carry it because we've been wronged or something is not right. I feel this in my heart. Something is not right in your life. And so you're carrying it because somehow you think at some point you're going to get the justice you deserve and then you can let go of it. Can you just let it go now? As opposed to waiting for the apology that you're waiting for, which may never come, as opposed to waiting for that person in your life to change in ways you desperately need them to change, can you stop waiting for that and let God fill you so that He's enough? I know it's not easy. Can you let those challenges go? Can you let Him just bring it all up from the bottom of you all the way out? What are you waiting for? You're going to overflow with something. We all are filled with something, and it overflows. What are you going to be filled with? What do you want to overflow with? Father, in this moment, I pray, God, you are doing a work by the power of your Spirit. Your word says that you are the God of hope and that you will fill us with two things that we desperately need, joy and peace. If they were commodities, they would be priceless. Nobody could afford them because of how bad we need them. And our circumstances and our situations try to rob us of them all the time. Your word says that as the God of hope, you will fill us with joy and peace so that we can overflow with hope. And it's very interesting to me that you, being the God of hope, want us to overflow with hope so that maybe we reflect you to the people around us. Maybe we are an example to the people around us. Father, I pray in this moment that stuff is bubbling out. I pray, God, that you are after some people in this place. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would not allow them to shove you back down into that tiny box they created for you because you keep messing their lives up, because you keep pointing them back toward God, because you keep telling them to be less selfish and more giving when they feel like they've given all that they can possibly give. God, bring this stuff up from the bottom to the top. Bring it up and out of us. Bring it up, God, even those most painful pieces. Anybody here this morning that is holding on to just ancient hurts, ancient pain, ancient disappointment, ancient unforgiveness, it is just old and rotten. We need one thing, and that is for you to just fill us up so that we can overflow with hope. Hope for ourselves, hope for our future, hope for our families. Hope, God, hope for our nation, hope for this world. Fill us, God, with joy and peace so that our hope can overflow. What are you waiting for today? Do the work, Holy Spirit, that only you can do. It is you who is within us. We cannot wait any longer. We have been waiting for something to change on the outside. We've been waiting for something. We've been waiting to see somebody do something differently. We've been waiting for our partner, our spouse, to act in a different way. We've been waiting to see something different at work. We've been waiting to see something different in our lives which will do the change. It'll make the change that we need. And you are the change, and you live within us. So do it now, right now. God, I pray right now in the hearts and minds of the people who are here. Make the change and fill them up. God, may joy and peace increase. May we be absolutely filled to over, full with it. Please don't miss this moment. Please don't miss this moment. Please don't be stubborn and miss this moment. Please don't be selfish and miss this moment. I love you. I'm not trying to call anybody out. Please don't be so self-centered. Please just lay that down. Lay yourself down and let God do this thing, whether it makes sense to you, whether it feels fair or right, whether you are tired of being selfless or not. Please let God fill you. Let Him be enough. Let Him be enough for your past. Let Him wash away the past. Let Him be enough for your present. Let Him fill you up so that your present is not full of all the things that you think it should be full of. It's filled with Him and His life and His joy and His peace. Let Him be enough for your future. Let Him fill you. I'm going to ask that folks who are ready would begin preparing the elements for communion this morning. I'm so grateful we have an opportunity to eat that meal together. If I can have some folks who will just head toward the back. Something that I say to you guys a lot. You're my church family, so I always want to be honest with you. That kind of assumes that I'm not honest with people who are not in my church. I like to be just an honest person, but I definitely want to be transparent and honest with you. What you see here this morning, please don't think that I think that it's easy. I'm a human being just like you are. And I have my challenges just like you do. I'm not saying that this is easy, but I can tell you that it's simple. If you will let Him fill you, if you will let Him fill you by the power of His Spirit, if you will trust Him, if you will trust Him, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust Him. If you will trust Him for all that you need, and I know that that's not easy, but it is simple. If you will trust Him for all of the ways that you don't feel like things are right, and that's not easy, but it's simple, then He will fill you with those things, and you will overflow with hope. One of the most powerful things to me about the story of our Savior Jesus Christ was that the man, knowing what he was going into, had hope. The man never lost hope. I know there was some tough things. I know he was in the garden. I know that story. But Jesus was crying blood, right? Yeah, but he never lost hope. He knew it was a tough road. You want to talk simple but not easy. I know what he said on the cross when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was quoting some scripture there, but let's just say, but the man never lost hope. Here's how I know, because he followed it through all the way to the end. He didn't quit. He didn't stop. On the night he was betrayed, and you want to talk about a rough night, knowing what was coming, he could have been doing anything, anywhere, with anybody. On the night that the whole process of his physical destruction was going to start, on that night he was in upstairs with the disciples and they were eating. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and he broke it. And he blessed it and he gave it and he said, "This is my body broken for you." And so we take the bread. He broke the bread and gave it, knowing that it was an analogy for what was about to happen to him. because he never lost hope. In the same way, he poured out the wine into a cup and he said, this is my blood poured out for you and for the remission of all sin everywhere for all time. And so we take the cup. Father, as we celebrate this communion meal, I am so grateful that each and every person who comes to this table comes just as we are. No expectations of perfection. No line that we have to step over. No level that we have to achieve. No hoop we have to jump through. No mountain we have to climb. Whosoever will can come to this table and have today, God. And we are so grateful that you, the God of hope, love us so much that you gave the most important, precious thing, your son Jesus, so that we could be saved. And the man never lost hope. Father, may we never lose hope. May we trust you and be filled with joy and peace so that our lives will overflow with hope. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. Amen.